In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast. Praznikam. In your mind, dial the clock a little bit back. And think for a moment, not about today, Pentecost, but dial that clock back and think a little bit about the story of Exodus. Right, Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Remember first Genesis and then Exodus. Exodus, we remember, is the story of Moses. Moses, we know, is sent by God to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt, where they had been living for many generations as slaves, as an enslaved people. And Moses was to take them out from there and lead them to a promised land. And Moses does this. He wins freedom for the Hebrews. And just after Moses does so, God says to him, Moses, I want you to take those Hebrews and go to a mountain, Mount Sinai, and I want you to wait. And so they go to Mount Sinai, and at the appointed time, God reveals himself to his people. It's really quite dramatic. God reveals himself. God, as is reported in Exodus, descends upon the mountain, and there is an impressive soundtrack of thunder and lightning. The mountain, we are told, is wrapped in smoke. Fire is poured upon Sinai. And out of all this wind and smoke and fire, God speaks. God speaks to Moses, and he makes a promise to the Hebrews. He says to them, if you will obey my law, if you will obey the commandments that I give you this day, then I will be your God and you will be my people. This is the great covenant that God makes with the people of Israel. Covenant is one of those big, really sort of Bible words. It's so very important to understand as we read the Bible. He gives them his law. And he promises to provide them with divine care and comfort. At Mount Sinai, there is the sound of wind. There is the descent of flame. There is a strange and wonderful voice. There's a new commandment. There's a new promise. And there's a new covenant. So much for Exodus. Let's leave Exodus there and now fast forward the clock to the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. It's the story that we heard today read from the book of Acts. There in Jerusalem, the apostles and the followers of Jesus, we are told that there are merely 120 of them. They're gathered in a room, waiting. And once again, God reveals himself to his people. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is the sound of rushing wind. Alongside the wind, there is fire, which seems to fall on the head of each person. And then there are the voices, the strange and wonderful voices. Each person is able to hear about the mighty works of God in his own language. Two stories. Two times God reveals himself to his people. Twice there is wind and storm. Twice there is falling flame. Twice there are these arresting voices that simply take away your breath. The book of Acts, in other words, sounds an awful lot like the book of Exodus this morning. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's no surprise. The book of Acts, we know, is written by the evangelist Luke. And Luke is drawing our attention to the Exodus story very much on purpose in chapter 2. Very much on purpose does he want us to think about Mount Sinai. Luke is telling us that Pentecost today is another Mount Sinai moment. It's another one. At Sinai with Moses, God appeared to his people through wind and fire and sound and makes a covenant with his chosen ones. And today in Jerusalem, same thing, very same thing. God appears to his people through wind and fire and sound, and he makes a new covenant with his people. And this, brothers and sisters, this is the meaning of the Feast of Pentecost. And this also is the meaning of chrismation, which we celebrate this morning with Paul and Sarah. There stands before all of us this morning a new covenant with God. Now the old covenant, please don't get me wrong, the old covenant, brothers and sisters, isn't going anywhere. Right? The law given by Moses, given through Moses, is still holy and good and just. And we know that Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, not to do away with them. But this morning, to the old, Jesus adds something. Something new. Right? What is it? Think for a moment. What is the new law that on top of everything else, Jesus now lays upon his disciples at Pentecost? What is the new law given to these apostles? Fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays? No, right? Wearing green at Pentecost? What is the new law that makes it a big enough deal that the evangelist Luke is telling us we might as well be back at Mount Sinai? This is so significant. God is constituting a new relationship with a new chosen people. What is the new law by which we call ourselves the church? If I phrase it a different way, it gives it away. Okay? What's the new commandment? That you love one another? Close, but no. Right? Love's in the Old Testament. Go back and read Leviticus. When the rich young ruler, or rather when the scribe tests Jesus and asks him, Master, on what does the whole of the law rest? He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind. That's Deuteronomy. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's Leviticus. So love's in the Old Testament. As I have loved you, right? Love one another as I have loved you. As Jesus commands his disciples in the Gospel of John right before his arrest and his crucifixion. That's the new commandment. Right? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, and keep reading, right? Even as I have loved you. And remember, Jesus didn't just love people from a distance. He didn't just show love through checkbook and Facebook. He wasn't a guy that was just nice to have in the neighborhood. He kept the yard clean and the noise down at night. Jesus, we know, was up close and personal. And more than that, he did more than just in-your-face teach and preach and comfort. He did more than just heal. He did more than just visit. When Jesus says that we must love one another even as I have loved you, our Lord means that our love should be like his, willing to endure even the cross, right? Though he was God, Christ emptied himself in love for us, even to death on a cross. And so, brothers and sisters, this is what we receive today. Mount Sinai was the covenant long ago that gave birth to Israel. Pentecost is the covenant which today gives birth to the church, to the new Israel. And this covenant, it is sealed. God seals it with a promise. The covenant is sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those who enter into this covenant, you and I, we now live by the power of that gift. We now live according to the new commandment of Christ. We become today the mystical body of the Son of God. And we do so with a purpose, to love as Jesus loved, even to death on a cross. And as I said, this is the meaning of Pentecost, but this is also the meaning of chrismation. What a day to do a chrismation. It's a day of double significance. It is the ancient practice of the church to always receive new members through a double sacrament. If you're not familiar with this, it's important to know. They were received through the mystery of baptism, but also what we just witnessed here today through the mystery of chrismation. And the meaning is quite simple, very simple, really. Baptism is our personal Pascha. It's our personal Easter. At baptism, the believer is united to Christ in a death like his. This we know. We die with Christ at baptism so that we might be raised to new life with him. That's the purpose of going into the water and coming out of the water. And just as baptism is our personal Pascha, chrismation is our personal Pentecost. At chrismation, we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. How important it is to hear those words correctly. We do not say sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? No, no, no. Not those fruits that come from a life in the Spirit. No, no, no. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit as a gift, the Holy Spirit himself as a gift. He's poured out on us, just as he was poured out on those apostles 50 days after the resurrection. And these two always go together, Pascha and Pentecost, baptism and chrismation. You know, to work in a foreign country, right? I know many of you do, actually, or have, or are doing right now. To do so legally, right, you got to have two things. You got to have two things to work in a foreign country. You have to have a passport, and you need a visa, right? You need a passport, and you need a visa. The passport gets you there. The passport gets you to the country that's your destination. But the visa is what allows you to stay there. It gives you what you need to live there. Brothers and sisters, Paul and Sarah long ago received their passports. Baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is the passport that delivered them into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of heaven. But today they receive their working papers. Today they receive the visa that makes possible a long-term stay in the vineyards of the Lord. Today they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today they are sealed so that they might take and own this new commandment of Christ, that they might be known as his disciples, as those who love even as Christ loved, even to death on a cross. And as for Paul and Sarah, so also for all of us, our place in the body of Christ was sealed when we received the Holy Spirit. And we too are now empowered to make Christ himself. This is big. We are empowered to make Christ himself present to everyone that we meet. Even as Christ makes himself present to us this morning as we open Scripture and break bread together. The story of the apostles now becomes our story. And like them, we entered Jerusalem in weakness. But like them, we too now receive the Holy Spirit. And we are sent forth from Jerusalem this day in strength. Strength. But there is one difference between us and the apostles. Today, we leave Jerusalem with two more very dear souls by our side. Joyous feast. Joyous.